Milk Bottle Audio presents The Museum of Tat, devised by Robert Crichton, with Michael Foles. Hello and welcome to the Museum of Tat. I'm Professor Colin Jeffries, curator of the Museum of Tat, and with me my special guest is Professor Geoffrey Collins, Professor of Tat at Sheffield University.
Yes.
Though your position there is somewhat under threat at the moment with the legal proceedings from the Tat Classification Board, which has full discretionary powers over what is officially designated as Tat, yes. And one of our decisions earlier has left us with quite a large fine, I'm afraid.
Yes,
we're not
yes.
quite sure how Geoffrey is going to pay for that, but I'm sure it'll be fine. So Geoffrey is obviously a little bitter, but let's move on. And we have actually quite a classy item today from the Museum of Tat. How would you describe it, sir?
Well, if I had to describe it, I thought it's sort of a donkey on a platform, but now I look closer, it's not at all, is it?
It's not a donkey on a platform at all.
No. It's a deer of some
it's
kind.
It's a deer. It is a representation of a deer. Mm. It's standing on a small dais, and the deer is made of several different bits of wood or bamboo, possibly bamboo parts
yes,
of it.
Yes.
Parts of it, I think, are wood, parts of it are bamboo, all of which are hollow, and it's strung together with bits of string. It's got quite nice decoration to make it look quite patently like a deer.
Yeah.
Because only an idiot would suggest it was anything else. It's got
painted.
five brown spots on its right hand flank and five on its left as well.
Yes, yes.
Say 10 in total. Ten. A little stripe at the front and its rear over its anus there.
I don't know that I would have painted a brown smear on its anus.
No, I don't. I think that's personal taste, obviously.
Yes, okay.
But it's a naive style. The painting is simple blobs. I wouldn't say there's any particular technique going on there. It has a face. The head is sort of.
The eyes are unbelievably huge.
They are. It would struggle, I feel, to see during the daytime just for the vast amount of light going in. But I think as a deer, it probably can see in the dark.
I
suspect the size of its pupils are, let alone just the size of the eyes, in comparison with the
yes.
overall size of the head. And the head is. It also has a very red nose, which suggests possibly some kind of liver condition there.
Yes, or tumour, definitely. It's not, and red round the eyes.
Very
red
round the eyes.
It's so very tired.
I suggest it's not well.
Spots on the forehead.
It has got five little white spots on its forehead.
Not long for this
next
world.
Next to its leather ears, two little strips of leather.
Leather, yes.
They're quite quite foxy, I would say. A little bit of a minx there. It's little ears. And a tail, very very pert tail, I would say.
Let's keep it clean.
And as I say, it's standing on a dais, and the dais is if I could just ask Geoffrey to hold it for me.
Oh, of course.
There we go. And on the dais, the dais is about an inch and a quarter wide, and the dais itself is about an inch high. And overall, when erect, as it were,
yes,
it's about 4 inches high. That's going up to the point of its. Of its rather naughty ears.
Yes,
But when we were talking about it not being well earlier, that was to some degree to a purpose. But the dais is in fact hollow.
We turn it the
other way up.
That.
There's another round. It's a round dais. Another little round bit of wood inside the outer bit of wood. And it moves. This inner wood.
Oh.
You see, and if you push the inner bit of wood
whilst
down,
holding
the upper dais,
it collapses.
The deer collapses there. But if you let go, it springs back up again. So it suggests that it's, if it is suffering from some kind of inordinance, it's an occasional one.
Oh.
And down it goes. And up it goes again. Because it's spring-loaded the base, so presumably the strings are under tension, therefore holding it up.
A fun game to play could be to pretend you were Robert De Niro shooting a deer, as in the film Rain Man, is it? I don't know. This is one film where he hunts deer. I don't remember the name.
I can't. It's an odd name. You wouldn't think of it off the top of your head.
Hook. No, it's quite.
Well, anyway, I'm and the deer falls down dead. I mean, it's a pity we haven't got a video to record this, because
this would be hilarious.
It would be absolutely hilarious.
Minutes of fun at most.
Yeah, whole seconds would be engaged, and this is really where we get to the nub of why this is tad.
Oh yes. Back to
it's not expensive.
Clearly, the craftsmanship is
limited,
if there is.
It's naive. It's deliberately naive. Let's not suggest they don't have skill, because it must be really fiddly putting it together. But ultimately, what is it for? The point of tat is that it is cheap, vulgar, tasteless, and pointless. Now, when you first pick it up and you press the dais and it falls down, it's quite fun.
It is quite fun.
And it goes back up again. The second time it's sort of vaguely interesting, and then it goes back up. And then you sort of get bored and you throw it away. Now,
I'm afraid I've still got interest in
it. I'm
fascinated.
Well,
by
simpler minds ultimately will be fascinated by any moving shiny object. But in this, and it is quite
shiny.
It is quite shiny. It has got a varnish veneer on it, but it has no function.
Oh, no. I mean, yes, get
the
him back
only
on track.
Point yeah. to this is, if you went to some kind of wildlife retreat and it had a gift shop, you would go in there and you would spend a couple of quid buying this for no readily apparent reason whatsoever.
Nope.
And you'll get home and you'll have nowhere to put it. And you know what? You put it in that drawer.
Oh,
you put it in
yes.
the drawer where all the pointless things live. And that's where it will spend the rest of its life. One thing we can say is it's probably not destroying the planet, because it is mostly made out of natural materials.
It is
very recyclable. It's probably carbon neutral. But it is utterly worthless. And I think all of us have many items like this in our house. And many of us feel stress because of it, because the drawer never gets emptier. You only ever accumulate these items. And after a while, they start to prey on your mind, and you don't really know where to put them,
Colin,
anymore. And
Colin,
you started
let go, a
museum and you start labelling them and trying to create listeners and interest in them, and they're still fundamentally pointless, and you don't but
apart from all of that very valid points,
yes,
Colin, it collapses.
Yes it does.
And that's always fun.
But
for me.
But I think.
Oh, and forward, and to the side, he collapses.
Yeah. He'll generally follow gravity. I mean, that's.
Okay. Well, there's an added bonus there.
Yes.
Follows gravity.
So many of us will have these items in our houses and won't know what to do with them, and many of them will think, maybe I'll send them to the Museum of Tat.
Oh. Yes.
And you know what? You'd be dead wrong.
Yes.
Because we've already got one of these. We don't need any more. We really don't want any more tat. I mean, and if you're one of the people who make these, probably in a little garden shed somewhere as a little sideline that you sell off to garden centres, and you make these for a living, just think for a moment what you are doing.
Take a long, hard look. If you have the matching pair of this, destroy it. Don't send us it. We don't want it.
No, take a photo of it. Document its existence.
Yes.
Send it to us. And then dispose of it. Bury it in the garden if it's biodegradable.
Yes.
Give it a decent burial. Empty that drawer. And stop buying it. Because you're just encouraging them. They won't stop unless you stop buying them.
Colin is right. They will keep on making tat forever and ever and ever. I mean, why? Why?
Why?
Colin, I'm sorry.
The Museum of Tat can now be found on Twitter at Museum of Tat.